Book of Matthew, chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2. Today I want to talk to you about the Christmas story a little bit. I want to talk about wise men still seek him. Wise men still seek him. Matthew, chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go, search diligently for the young child. And when he have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. Let's pray, and we'll talk about wise men still seek him. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. Thank you for this beautiful Christmas story here in Matthew. And we thank you that we can think about, for a few minutes, the birth of Christ. And there's so many angles and thoughts, Father, about it. It's a beautiful story in every way. And I just pray we would be able to say what you want said, and you would speak to us through your word. I pray that someone who doesn't know you today would come to know you, that thy spirit would speak, Father, and that anyone who does know you would be drawn more in love with you, more dedicated to you, and you do a mighty work, Lord. We need the Spirit, Father, and we pray that he'd speak to us, and you do a mighty work here, Lord. We thank you for this time. Each one needs to hear from you, Father. Each one of us, we have spiritual needs, whether it's salvation or encouragement or conviction, whatever it is, Lord, we have a need, and we pray you'd meet that need, and we find fullness of joy in your presence this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These wise men, it says they saw a star in the east. I don't believe that means that they saw the star up in the eastern sky, because that doesn't make sense with the story. They were wise men from the east. If they saw the star in the east, they would head east. And I'll show you that a little bit later, what I think the star was doing. But actually, I think when they were in the east, they saw the stars, is I think how it's worded. And then later, they come to Jerusalem, and they said, we found the star in the east. And they're talking about the same star, because they went from Jerusalem, they went south at that point down to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. In their travels, these wise men, we don't know where they came from, but just the way it's phrased, wise men of the east, they didn't call people from the east from nearby. The minimum probably would have been Babylon if they came from the east. Very likely, maybe they could have been from farther, from China, from all the way to the far Orient East. We don't know where they're from, it's just from the east. Wherever they came from, bringing all the gifts and gold, and they would have had to have a caravan and transportation and things carrying those things. It's not a fast trip. You can't take a straight line. Just usually have to follow kind of the Fertile Crescent and go over. And so they traveled many, many miles, and undoubtedly they traveled months to come find this star in the east. Now, Herod was, this is called Herod the Great. Herod was a very bad man. And he was the leader over that region right there for the Romans, and he was a man very ambitious, very evil. His history's, he's very crooked and very sneaky, but a very powerful and very politically wise man, and ended up with everybody who conquered Israel, he ended up being their friend and kind of got put over Israel. And so he was the king of the region there, not of the Caesar, of course, is over the world. And he said, I want to hear about this king of the Jews who's born. So he tells the wise man, when you found him, come and tell me about him so I can go worship him also. He had no intention of worshiping. He didn't want a king of the Jews. He was king of the Jews. Herod did not know the scripture well. See, this child that would be born, he'd be king of the Jews, but that wasn't all that it said he would be. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. It was just a king. You can compete with him. His plan was to kill the baby Jesus. Not understanding, it wasn't just a king of the Jews that was being born. It was God being born in the flesh. And so Herod said, come and tell me where you found him, and I'll go worship him also. So the wise men came and worshipped him, and they found Jesus in a manger. That's probably not what they expected. These are wealthy men. They brought gold with them, frankincense and myrrh, which are very expensive spices. As a matter of fact, I got something with frankincense and myrrh in it. It's just some anointing oil, and it just smells like that would smell. I just thought we'd take a little bit of this and drop it. Take it right to me. Go take this and go about two rows back and pour a little bit in the aisle there, and go about another two rows back and pour just a couple drops. There's not that much. Just pour a couple drops every couple aisles, and maybe we'll get a smell a little bit what frankincense and myrrh smells like. And you can imagine as they came with these great spices and the smell of that going around, and they're bringing these things thinking, we're going to find a king born, and a mighty king, a king that the stars move for. And so you would think if they're going to think, man, we're going to find him born in the palace. They're going to follow this star. And it's going to go to a palace. The star is going to go to important place. And they're following the star. And all of a sudden they come and there's an inn. And they say, wow, maybe his family took him after he's born. And they're taking him somewhere else. And he's staying in the inn. But it doesn't go over the inn. It goes over the stable. And so they go into the stable. And as they go into the stable, there is a baby lying there. And of course, assembled eventually are shepherds and angels and all kinds of things they're meeting. Can you smell it? You smell it a little bit? Frankincense and myrrh. And maybe I'll get a little whiff of it. So they bring these expensive spices. And by the way, we can go to the store and buy things like this and manufactured things. Back then, to buy those spices, it's very expensive. And I had to come a long, long way to bring them together. And so they worship him, and they find him there. They brought treasures, frankincense, and myrrh, and gold, and they worshipped him, it said, proving that he was God, in verse 11. When they had come into his house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him the gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know how many wise men there were. The tradition is three. Could have been two. It was wise men's plural. So at least two of them, could have been 20. But they came in, they worshipped him, gave him their great gifts, and then the angel came to them at night and says, hey, don't go tell Herod, go back another way, and they went back the other way. Herod, not knowing what to do then, God came to Joseph and said, take your child down to Egypt, and Herod sent the soldiers in to kill all the babies in Bethlehem, but of course the Lord protected, and so Jesus was saved because he had to come and save us. Just want to say a few thoughts about this, and just wise men still seek him. First point I have is wise men still seek him. I'm going to read you a verse here. This is Deuteronomy 4:29. It says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if thou shalt seek him with all your heart. Seek the Lord. Now, there are a lot of people who take what is handed to them. Their parents make them go to church. It's their tradition to go to that church. It's what they've always done, go to that church. And they kind of get what's handed to them spiritually. But I want to say there's something much better than that. I think every one of us needs to seek the Lord. I think God says in the Bible, and many, many, many times, he says, I want you to seek me, and you will find me if you seek after me with all your heart. The Lord wants to be sought. The Lord wants someone to want him. The Lord wants someone to come look for him. The Lord doesn't just want to just say, here it is. He wants us to want him. He wants us to seek a closer walk with him. He wants us to do these things. And he says, I'm not very far. You'll find me if you seek after me. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15 and verse 17 that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. And known unto God are all his works in the very beginning. And then he says, this is Acts 14, verse 17, therefore he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons filling our hearts with food and gladness. So God says, you know what, I want you to find me. I'm not very far from you. I've revealed myself in many things, and I want you to know that if you seek after me, you're going to find me, and he's not very far from any one of us. He's not distant. He is not far away from us. He wants us to find him. And God says, I'm there. You know, many people, they don't know the blessing of God. They don't know the goodness of knowing God. They don't know the goodness. Now people say, well, you know what? I'll meet him someday. The shepherds could have said, I don't need to go there. He's going to be walking around this area, this region. No. Go meet him. Go seek and find him. Go look after him and find him. And he's there to be sought after. A woman wants a man to seek her, to want her. If a man said to a woman, you know what? If you want a boyfriend, you know what? That's fine. I'll be yours. If you know, that's fine. She's going to be very happy. The Lord says in the Bible so many times, seek and ye shall find. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They that seek the Lord, Psalms 34, shall not want any good thing. There's certain people who say, you know what? What I have isn't enough. I want more of Jesus. You know what? I learned a little bit, but you know what? I want more of God. More about him personally. Seek to know who the Lord is. See, the most important thing in your life is the Lord. You might think it's your family, your job, your career, your money. No, the most important thing in the entire world is knowing God and seeking after knowing him. Seek to know who he is. This is the Son of God who came for mankind, knowing who the true God is. There's only one God, the Bible says. For unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. There's only one God. And that God you've got to find. And he says, seek after me, and you shall find me when you seek with all of your heart. Seek to know who he is. Seek to know him personally. See, God speaks of a personal relationship with us. He says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. But to as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. He calls us his children. His friend, his children, his close friends. See, God says, I want you to know me personally. You might say, I've been to church, I've been religious. No, seek to find him personally. The wise men traveled a long way to meet this king and bring him gifts. The shepherds came there and personally saw him in the manger, seeking him personally. When I first became a Christian, I met other Christians and I started learning a little bit of the Bible, but there became something in me that says, I want to know God deeply. Matter of fact, I wanted to know God more than I wanted anything else in the world, and more than anybody else I knew. I said, I don't want to just be an average Christian. I want to know God. I want to be close to God. I want to be right there with God. You say, well, I'm religious, so I don't know what I'm talking about there. Listen, these wise men were religious, and they were back east. They knew somehow to follow the star, and that the king of the Jews is going to be born. They apparently knew some kind of scripture. But to go there and personally be with him, listen, there's a lot of head knowledge about Jesus. There's a lot of head knowledge about God, but knowing him personally. I could tell you facts about Barack Obama. I could tell you facts about George W. Bush. I could tell you facts about about all kinds of famous people in society. I could say, you know what? I know Russell Wilson. He's the quarterback, and he wears number 3, and he's a good running quarterback. And he plays second base, and he plays baseball. I could say all kinds of things about Russell Wilson. But do I know Russell Wilson? No. Just because you know about somebody doesn't mean you know them. And just because you went to confirmation, you learned in church about God, and you learned facts about him, and you know that Jesus was a person, and he died on the cross, and that he lived and was Jewish, doesn't mean you know God. There are some very religious people. The Pharisees were some of them. There are very people who are good people out there, a lot of good people in our culture who know about God, but they don't know the Lord personally. Wise men still seek him. Do you know him as a best friend? He calls us friends. He says, I no longer call you servants, but friends. A servant doesn't know what his Lord doeth, but I'm going to tell you all things I'm going to do, and I want you to be friends with me. Abraham was called a friend of God. Do you know the Lord? Last night I was spending some time with the Lord, and I just started talking about someone. And I wasn't asking for anything. I said, Lord, you know, so-and-so, I wonder what they're thinking right now. And I wonder what they're going through. And why haven't they done this right now? And I was just talking to God. I tell you, the Lord becomes someone you talk to. You know him. He's a personal friend. Seek after knowing God. And not just what's handed to you. But seek him. There's a big difference there. Above and beyond Christianity, knowing God personally in a great way. Seek him above what has been given to you. It's interesting, if you go back to in Matthew chapter 2, one of the things about the star that's kind of interesting, people try to figure out what the star is, and was it a comet, and was there a certain alignment of the stars, and they try to figure out about that time of zero, or between, you know, 4 and 6, or 8 BC, when, or AD, when he was born. And the exact time when he's born, and trying to figure out the dates and what could have been happening in the skies. I don't think it was anything normal. I don't think there was a comet. We try to explain these miracles. Listen, comets don't lead you above a building. Nor do a certain alignment of stars. As a matter of fact, here's the thing about this star. This star is moving and leading them. They followed the star. It's kind of funny how it phrased it. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, that means back where they came from, let's say Babylon, they'd seen it back there, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, listen, have you ever tried to go underneath of a star? They move with you. Isn't that amazing? You're looking blankly at me. That you're not going to get underneath it. If you try to go to get the little pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, the leprechaun is not there. That rainbow runs away from you. And it's very hard to find. And this star, though, they're following it. And when they follow it, it stops right over this particular house. That was a low-down star. If it's, you can look at it and say it's underneath one house. Probably an angel. And it's there, and it's over the house, and there they are, and they walk up the house. See, they were following, the star was moving, and they could have just said, you know what, we heard about the king being born, that's great. Someday, you know, we'll hear about what he taught or whatever. No, we want to go meet him personally. We're going to be there. We're going to seek the Lord. I think before I was a Christian, I think that I was seeking the Lord and I didn't even know it. I wanted to know who God was. I wanted to be close to him. I thought it was by my good works. I thought it was by me living a good life. And I tried to figure out God. I sought him. And I think because I sought him, he found me. As he says in Acts, he says, you'll find him if you seek after him, though he be not far from every one of us. He wants to be found. Wise men still come to him. Next, verse 11. When they were come unto the house, they saw the young child. They didn't send somebody with gifts. They came to him personally. The shepherds also came to him. If we go to the book of Luke, the Christmas story. And by the way, if you want to read the Christmas story to your family, Matthew 2 or Luke 2 are where they are. And I recommend that before we open gifts. It's wonderful for many reasons. First of all, if you stop and say, before we open gifts, we're going to read the Christmas story. It's wonderful because it tortures your children. And that's always fun. And just to make them know who's in charge again one more time. And secondly, because you remember what it's about. You remember it's, and read it slow. But you know, you read it to them and you remember what the Christmas story is about. And we always do that. We read the Christmas story before we open our presents. And we don't tell them Santa gave them to them. And wise men still come to him. And first of all, the wise men came to him personally. Now the shepherds are going to come to him. Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And when they heard it, wondering at those things which are told them by the shepherds. So the shepherds came personally, and they came to Jesus and believed on him. They all went to Jesus personally. They did not just hear about him. They realized that he was the promised anointed one, the Messiah. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now look at that. Lots of babies are born. Lots of kings are born. I mean, one was just born who's going to be a king someday, probably in England. No big deal. But this one's different. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. By the way, make sure your Bible has that word Savior spelled right. The wrong versions of the Bible use the wrong word Savior. Savior has seven letters. It's a supreme being. Six-letter Savior could be someone who saves you from water. It could be a thousand different things. It's a totally different word. They mistranslate that word and put the wrong word. One, it's S-A-V-I-O-U-R is the God Savior, the Anointed One, capital S. A careless translation they use nowadays. The newer versions, just another reason not to use the newer versions, is they just give you that six letter. Could be anybody who saves you from anything. Could be the person who saves a puppy from drowning. Same word. Savior, spelled right, seven letters. By the way, six versus seven. Interesting. Is the right word. But it says, unto us is born a Savior. Why? Bible says he shall save his people from their sins. And once you understand this, all the stuff about Christmas, the wise men, the manger, the shepherds, the angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and Joseph and Mary and all the beautiful scenes and the manger scenes and all the stuff there is. It's all wonderful. It's all great. And I like Christmas. I like the mood of Christmas. I like the songs of Christmas. I like Christmas lights. I know there's probably somebody here. It's all unbiblical somehow. Yeah, thou shalt not have Christmas lights. I know. And matter of fact, tonight we're gonna go over and there's a whole neighborhood lit up with Christmas lights around here. And we're gonna go over there and take a whole load of people over there and let you see a whole neighborhood lit up with Christmas lights. And I like everything about Christmas. We have Christmas lights here. I hope you aren't offended. And so when you look at Christmas and all the beauty of it, understand. There is a big purpose there. God had to become man for a reason. He's called a Savior. Why? Because he'll save his people from their sin. A lot of people say, I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven. Then you don't need a Savior. My church is going to save me. I'm very religious. I was baptized or confirmed. Well, then your church is your Savior. But the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christmas is about God had to become man because the sins of the world had to be paid for. God is a just God. He has to punish sin. I don't want to hear about that sin and stuff like that. You have to. It's like a doctor telling you about a disease you have that's curable. You have to hear you have the disease, you can get it treated. Our problem is sin. God said he shall save his people from their sin. Every one of us can pay for our sin. And that punishment is eternal hell. We can pay for it ourselves. God said, I do not want that. I love you. I want you in heaven. There is no religion. There's no good deed. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. There's none righteous, no, not one. Somebody has got to come and suffer that sin. So instead of you suffering for that sin, God will become flesh, because God can take all the sins of the world on himself and suffer for all the sins of the world by himself. And so every person in the entire history of the world, if they want, they can let Jesus be their savior, and their sins will be taken away. All their millions and thousands or whatever sins you have are washed away, because he already took the punishment. He went and stepped into your jail cell and closed the door and said, I'll take the life sentence. So you go free. He is a savior, and so he came and preached that you must have a savior. See, this whole purpose, God had to become flesh and have a humble birth. He had to be tempted. He had to go through, in all points, tempted like we are. He had to know the whole spectrum of mankind. He had to go through all the things in his life and then never sin, and because he's a perfect son of God, go to the cross. All the sins of the world come upon him. To know the forsaking of God, because God cannot take sin in his presence, and God turning his back on him, and the world become darkness, and he's saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That is the God being separated from us because of our sin. It was upon him, and he being God suffered all of that eternal punishment for us for sin, all in one moment, and died on the cross for our sins to save us, and that's the only way to heaven. If anybody tells you their church can save you, they're lying. If you believe you can save yourself, you've deceived yourself. You say, but I do good things and I live a good life. You still have sin. And the Bible never says if you do this many good things, then this many bad things go away. It never says that. If I went and murdered somebody, I went before the judge and he said, you murder him? I said, yeah, I murdered them. But you know what? I've been really nice this week to people, and I let an old lady cross the street, and I was nice to a puppy and fed it, didn't have that. And I was nice to my neighbor, and I told my kids I love them. So yes, I did one bad thing, but I did seven good things this week. So see you later. Didn't work that way. Somewhere the devil lied to everybody and said, if you do good things, your bad things go away. It's not true. It's never said in the Bible the opposite of that is true. We cannot save ourselves. That's why Jesus had to come, because we wouldn't save ourselves. There's one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You need Jesus to save you. I needed Jesus to save me. And it's a one time where you come and say, I need a Savior to come. Wise men still come to him. And you need to come to Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. God's inviting you. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, if you will come to God and say, Lord, I need you to save me, and you will come to Jesus Christ, you will find him and he will save you. There's never been a seeking sinner come to the Savior and go away empty. You will never go to God and say, I'm coming to you, God. And God says, no, I don't want you. That will never happen. He says in John chapter 6, verse 37, says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's sitting there waiting for everyone in the world, everyone in this room who hasn't yet, to come to Jesus for eternal life. And he will accept you and save you and give you eternal life. That's why he came. The Son of Man has came to seek and to save that which is lost, the Bible says. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God came, Jesus came in the flesh, was born in the manger at the beginning of his life, born of a virgin to prove that God was his Father, not man. He was the God-man. And so he could come and save you and I. And what wonderful news. There's no better news you'll ever hear in your life. Whoever won the Powerball didn't get better news than Jesus wants to save you and give you eternal life. He will accept you. Come to the Savior today. Ask him to save you. Realize that you can't save yourself, and he's the Son of God. And he died, was buried, and rose again from the dead to prove he was God's Son, that he's the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need you to save me. And you come to him and he will save you and come into you and come into your life and become your Savior and your personal best friend and Lord. And your sins will be washed away and heaven will be your home. Wise men still come to him personally. But my mom and dad are religious. I come from a Christian home. Wise men come to him personally. Your family's religion will not save you. Because your parents are Christian doesn't make you Christian. Because you are in a church doesn't make you a Christian. Because you go to church all the time doesn't make you a Christian. Coming to him personally makes you a Christian. And that's the only way. Number one, we said wise men still seek him. Number two, wise men still come to him. And in a while, we'll give you a chance. If you want to come to the Savior, you can do that today. Number three, wise men still wait and look for his coming. Wise men still wait and look for his coming. This is Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. The Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by spirit in the temple, and when his parents brought him to the Christ Jesus to do to him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, the light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people Israel. His man Simeon, he was a man who was old, and God came to him and said, hey, buddy, you're not dying until you see the Savior. He was looking for Jesus coming. He was waiting. And Mary and Joseph came, and right when he saw Jesus, they came to bring him to the temple, as the tradition was, and they saw the child, and he picked up the child and said, now, Lord, I've seen your salvation. Now I can know up to heaven. He was waiting. Why? Because he knew the Bible, and he knew about the time frame also. If you read the book of Daniel, you'd know about the time that Jesus was coming. Not the exact day, but you'd know the time frame. And it told when Messiah, the prince, would come, and he was very specific. And so he knew in the general area, nobody knew exactly the day, but in the general area, he was coming pretty soon. And that's why there's rumors and wise men coming, and something was happening. And this man waited, and then he blessed God that he was able to see when the Son of God came. But I want to tell you something. The Son of God doesn't just come once. He's coming again. And wise men are still looking for his coming. And wise men are still waiting for his second coming, for him to come back, and for him to come back and see us. It says that we are supposed to be doing that. Jesus told us many times to watch and watch, for you know not when the Son of Man cometh. And he says in 1 Thessalonians, and 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, in verse 10, he says, and wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which has delivered us from the wrath to come. The apostles are watching Jesus ascend up into heaven after he had died and rose again, and they're standing on the Mount of Olives, and they're watching him go into heaven. And an angel stood by them and said, you men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who you've seen go into heaven, so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Bible says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And Jesus coming back, he's coming back there physically someday, but he's also going to come back in the rapture someday. And he's going to come up and take all of his saved people to heaven. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15, For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Bible says we're supposed to be watching. The Bible says someday Jesus is going to come in the clouds and a trumpet is going to sound. And then in a moment, 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll instantly be up in the sky with him in heaven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we should be looking for that coming. We should be watching. I want to say that day might not be too far off. In the last days, perilous times shall come. That day may not be far off. And you know what? Even so, come Lord Jesus. This world is about ready for Jesus to come back and fix it. I'm about ready to go up to heaven and see Jesus and all the trials and troubles and worries and messed up this world gets. And the human race is a mess and it's never going to become utopia. If you think that government or politicians or leaders or whatever is going to eventually solve this world and make it a perfect place, you better start looking for something better. It's called Jesus coming back. In the history of the world, there has been 39 years of world peace. If you think the world's going to figure it out, and that just so happens enough people died during those few little spats that they didn't want to fight for a little while. But there's always someone fighting. There's always poverty, and there's always going to be. It's not going to be a perfect world. When sin came, the world got messed up, and the Bible says it's a fallen world, and the Bible says people die, and bad things happen, and the sweat of the brow is how we work, and man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, as the sparks fly upward. It's a fallen world, and we're blessed and have a lot of things here in America. I understand that, and there's many good things, and enjoy the good things, and enjoy family, and enjoy getting presents, and enjoy buying me presents, and enjoy all those things, and just want to see if you're listening, and enjoy those things. Well, really, but enjoy all the good things. But I want to say, look for Jesus coming and be thinking about the next life. Think about someday the trumpet is going to sound and someone's going to go, "Where'd you go? Where'd they go?" It might happen this morning. Trump might sound, and if you're not saved, you'll be sitting in a very empty room. Because a whole bunch of us have already accepted Christ, and that's the requirement to go up, is being born again, being saved. Looking for that. And yes, be busy. The Bible says, occupy till I come. Be busy for Jesus. Be with your family and spend time with your family and go to your job and do your work and all those things you need to do, but do everything for the Lord and be looking and saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come fix this messed up world. They aren't doing a very good job. It needs fixed. We're just putting Band-Aids on it in our best states. You say, if the other party got into power, oh, brother, the other party was in power, and the other party before that was in power, and the other party was in power before that. You have way too much hope in humankind. Listen, we need Jesus. Look for Jesus to come back. Be thinking about it. The Bible says be ready for his coming, that when he appears, we won't be ashamed before him at his coming. See, wise men are still looking for his coming. Simon is looking for it. The wise men in the east somehow knew to look for it. And look and watch and see. You know, there's going to come a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. I want to be found, if nobody else is being faithful to the Lord, I want to be looking up and saying, I'm watching for you, Jesus, I'm still staying busy. And when the trumpet sounds and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, we're taken up into heaven and we get our rewards, we say, I was serving the Lord when that happened, and making him the priority. Wise men still wait for his coming. We wait for him in the rapture, wait for him when he comes back to earth again with us someday at Armageddon and lands on the earth physically and takes over the world and destroys the curse and rules and reigns for 1,000 years with Jesus sitting in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olives, ruling this world, and then eternity in heaven in the New Jerusalem and eternity in heaven with God in our mansions. Look, it's going to get great for those who are saved. Look for his coming. Simon was looking for Jesus coming. This thing of Christmas is beautiful. It's a great story. The frankincense, the myrrh, the shepherds in their fields, and suddenly angels saying, hey, go over to Bethlehem and go to this house. And all of a sudden, angels shouted out a mighty chorus, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Although it's beautiful. But really what it's all about is looking toward a person. It's all about Jesus. It's about him personally. Not about religion, not about church, not about a denomination. It's about him and you coming to him and you and I looking for him. If today you don't know Jesus as your Savior, we'll explain to you in a moment how you can do that. And today maybe Christian need to look up and say, I've been looking at this world here and all the troubles of it and I've gotten discouraged and stuff. You know what? Look up a little bit more. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I pray that wise men today in this room, wise men and women, would seek you. I pray that the Christians, the ones who are already saved, Lord, would seek to be closer to you, would seek to remove anything that would hinder their walk with you. They would seek to know you more and to be closer to you and to be personal with you and to make you their best friend, not only their Father in heaven, not only their God, but their friend. I pray, Lord, that we would all seek a closer walk with you. I pray those who aren't saved today, those who don't know heaven's their home, would seek salvation and seek to trust Christ as their way to heaven and not anything else, but just Jesus who died for our sins. And they believe on you and believe that you're the Son of God who rose from the dead. I pray that all of us, Lord, to keep our eyes up and look for your second coming, as Simon looked for your first coming, and awaiting that beautiful day when we would see the Son of God. Because it's coming, Lord. It might be soon, Lord. And I pray to be looking for that day and living for that day and being diligent about our priorities and about you and not living for a little short life that'll be done in 70 years. Help us be looking for you. Help all of us to apply these things to our life in Jesus' name. Our heads about, our eyes are closed. I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I want to just give a chance for invitation here. Maybe today you're saved. Maybe today you know heaven's your home. Maybe today you know if you die today, you go to heaven. And you'd say today, you know what? I want to be closer to God. I want to seek the Lord. Lord showed me so much, but I never really sought after him. I just kind of took what I